Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
I thank you, Lord Jesus. The nations will yet learn a lesson. The nations will learn that I still rule in the affairs of the kingdoms of men. The nations will see my power. They will see it in a way they've never seen before. They will see it. Fear the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we've worshipped. Father, I thank you for this morning. I pray for your church that your men and your people will come to an understanding. That our understanding of you will become accurate. Amen. I pray that we'll not be like the Jews who could not interpret what they were seeing. They could not understand the power of your might. They could not believe. They were a generation that was crooked. They were always backsliding in heart. I'm praying that, Father, that you will give us a new heart. Yes. The heart that we're able to comprehend. Amen. and align. Amen. With what you want to do. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. They hindered your power. They hindered your hand. They said you were not able to take them in. The problems they saw was greater than the problems that they have seen you solve in the wilderness. They said we are not able. Father, I pray that this generation will not make the same mistake. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Help us, Lord. Amen. I commit this morning to your hands. I pray, Lord, that you will inspire me. Amen. And give me the right choices of words. Amen. And expressions. Amen. And Lord, and you grant me utterance. Amen. By the pen of the red writer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. A heart to understand. Amen. A heart to assimilate. Amen. A heart to engage. A heart to change. This is my prayer and desire, Lord. Thank you once again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please let us have a seat in the name of Jesus. As the choir was ministering this morning, and they took that song, when they were singing about Jesus Christ, He died, He rose, He delivered us and everything. Hallelujah. Technical, are we good? Majority of the church still have a mental assent. They have not had a heart agreement with those truths. is not a reality to many of us. And it's my heart desire that we will be able to renew our minds. The word renewal of mind means to come into agreement. You must come into an agreement with what has been revealed about God. Amen. And so, and that word that came into my mind, I just shared here, when you look at the whole of Israel, they had to keep reminding them about the power of God. They had to keep reminding them that trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. And only a few of them, and through the ages and through the times, were able to really trust God. Hallelujah. We are coming into a time where academics is more important to us than walking in real faith. A time will come, circumstances will challenge your belief system, and we will know whether you really believe or you don't really believe. There was a man that really didn't believe, but for one reason or another, he brought his son to Jesus. Unfortunately, he didn't meet Jesus, but he met his disciples. Hallelujah. And the disciples said, "What is your problem?" He said, "My son has a problem. He's possessed by a spirit. And that spirit takes him, tears him, and all that." And they attempted to cast out the spirit, and they could not cast out the spirit. Fortunately, Jesus appeared and asked what was the problem. And you know who answered the question? It was not the disciples that answered the question. It was the man who stepped forward quickly and said, "I brought my child, and your disciples could not cast out the spirit." That was an accusation. That was an accusation of incompetence. "You didn't train these guys well." Praise the Lord. They are untrained. They didn't learn anything. And Jesus brought them, said, "Bring the child." And when he saw the child, he said, "Do you believe?" And the man, like many of us, will say, "I believe." And Jesus looked at him very well. He didn't answer another question. Just looked at him. And he said, "Well, I don't really believe." Praise God. I said, "Help my unbelief. I trust God will help us in the name of Jesus." Many of us really claim we believe, but when they push us into a corner, and they will definitely, I don't know why this is slipping out of control. This is slipping out of control, and it's affecting my concentration. And when, praise God. I don't know what's going on this morning. Amen. I don't know why they wanted me to use this thing. I don't really feel like it. But where did I stop? When they want to get you, they will push you to circumstances where your mental poise will not be able to solve the problem. That's when you will have to confess to God, "I don't believe." In the days that we are entering into, you will need to believe or perish. Now, this is not my message. I didn't prepare this. This is my message. It's there. I'm to take it from Genesis chapter 20. Do you remember when Jesus used two dangerous examples? He was talking to the children of Israel. And I think it's pertinent I speak to you two about those issues this morning, because we need help. He said there were many widows in Israel. Many widows were in Israel. Many were in Israel. And those widows needed help. Those widows were children of Abraham. They were children of the covenant. Remember, he said to that Syrophoenician woman, "It's not proper." Amen. I don't know what's going on this morning. You think it's slipping out of... Is he hearing me? I'm not hearing myself. And every time it slips out, I don't know. Maybe I better use this one. Come and carry this one. Praise the Lord. You can hear, sir? So I can keep on managing. It is you that said so. There were many widows in Israel, children of Abraham, by covenant right. It was their meat. It was given. Praise God. That God was under obligation to step in and help them. There was famine in that land. Famine that was occasioned by judgment. So the Elijah that created the problem. But Elijah just, you know, he just helped them to compound it. And so, there was famine. There was need. People were dying. Hunger was killing them. Exchange rate was out of control. Be doing your own. Things were bad. And I'm looking into the future, 2021, I'm asking myself, what does it have to offer us as believers? Somebody said the exchange rate may reach 1,000 naira to a dollar. And I'm like, are we going to survive? I'd watched the documentary on Greece, how their economy crashed. When I say economy crashed, it crashed. They couldn't pay salaries. Those who could escape were those who had transferable skills. They could transfer their skills out of the country and go abroad. The rest were grounded. They were poor. When you say poor, poor was, they couldn't have, you can't be poorer than poor. They were poor. They had no jobs, no work. Those who had work, they were not paid. And can you imagine you being offered a job and they said, we don't have money to pay you. You said, let me just come. Praise God. That was what they had. They couldn't fight anybody. They couldn't riot. They couldn't do anything. They were grounded. And I'm saying if we get to that point, there'll be katakata. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? The Bible said, when the brook dried, God directed Elijah to go look for a woman in the region of Sidon. Sidon was not in Israel. Sidon was in the land of the Sidonians. The same thank you very much. Sidonians that came to meet Jesus Christ for a miracle. She was not part of the covenant. But she was the one that God found that was worthy to receive God's servant. Hallelujah. Said, go to the land of Sidon. I have prepared a woman for you. May the Lord prepare you. But I want to ask, was she the only one that God was preparing? I want to believe that God must have started preparing the widows in Israel. For one reason or the other, they didn't pay attention to the preparation. They didn't care about what God was trying to do in their lives. Eh? What's good? They say Pastor Bello is ministering. Praise God. Pastor Bello, you are ministering. The spirit of Pastor Bello is upon me. Hallelujah. Well done, no? Pastor Josh, you do what you like there. Hallelujah. They didn't care. They didn't pay attention to the teachings. They didn't pay attention to many things. They had their own personal programs they were running. When the day came for them to step up, they were not there. And God had to shift his attention from Israel and found a woman in the land of the Phoenicians. She was the one that sustained Elijah for the period of the famine. It happened in the days of Elijah. That was Elijah. In the late days of Elisha, a similar thing also happened. In Elisha's case, there were many lepers who ought to have been cured. They all knew about Elisha. They all see him every day. But none of them placed a demand on Elisha. None of them cared. They were more interested in their profession, which was begging. Hallelujah. None of them wanted to be healed. Because they didn't believe that it can happen. Amen. And it took God to demonstrate his power by reaching across, where again? The land of Syria, to demonstrate that he was still alive. All the songs we sing about God is potent and they are true. But the problem is that our minds are not renewed to the point that we are willing to stake our lives. That if I perish, I perish. But we've not gone there yet. We have not gone that far. We don't want to go that far because we are too sophisticated to go that far. We have commonized God. We sing about him, but somewhere our hearts are just not shifting. We need a change of heart. We can't continue like this. And so I want to ask, if in 2021 our exchange rate gets to 1,000 naira to a dollar, are we going to do answers? Are we going to join them? Is that going to be our restored position? Or are we going to find a way of believing God to feed us? Hallelujah. We've read stories of God who miraculously fed people. I can reel out about three examples that I can remember. Is it George Muller, the man of the orphanage? Who didn't have money, doesn't have people to. Every morning, they just pray. Empty table. He doesn't send out anything on Facebook. I need help. They would just come and sit down and pray. Lord, we thank you for the food before us. And before they finish praying, somebody would have brought food for them. And that's how he fed them for years. So how does that work really? He said, the birds of the air, they do not sow. They don't reap. They don't keep in bands. They don't have bands. Yet your Father in heaven does what? He feeds them. The day I began to meditate on that thing, it was indicting. I've never seen a bird come to my window to complain that he's hungry and he's going to bed hungry. Have you seen any in your own house? No bird has ever gone to bed hungry. No bird, in my view, has died of starvation. Yet, our minds have not sat down to engage those thoughts. If God so much feeds the birds, did Jesus die for birds? He didn't die for birds, yet he's so careful. He's so careful to take care of their needs. How much more? You, the child of the covenant. I don't know whether I'm making sense this morning. But it doesn't matter, I'm just flowing. Like I said, this is not what I came to preach. We have to ask God for help. The days ahead will try us. The days ahead don't look attractive. The Bible says it will come to a time that the heart of men will fail them by reason of what is coming. They will see things in future that is coming like this and you cannot stop it. And they will start having heart attacks. Hallelujah. People will start jumping off the bridges. Because there is no way God can. No, there is nothing that can help them. The case is finished. We can't afford to get there. Amen. We cannot afford to call what men call a confederacy. A confederacy. We cannot afford to fear what they fear. The time for God to distinguish between light and darkness is upon us. Hallelujah. Let us look at Isaiah 60. Again, let us look at that prophecy. He says, arise, shine. This is a command. It's a command. And that means this command has to do with you resolving in your mind, determining in your heart to shine. Because the situation around you and I will be strong enough to keep us down. Am I communicating? It will be strong enough to keep everybody down. For you to arise,
You'll be an abnormal person. Because everybody around you is bowed down. Everybody around you is cast down. And that is what is normal. Praise God. And all of you have been conditioned to flow with your environment. Is that not true? You want to belong. Let's say this issue of belonging comes up. You want to belong. You want to be like everybody. Nobody wants to stand out different. Amen. Have you ever gone to a party and you are the one that is oddly dressed? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are the only one that's not properly dressed. You've got, of course, you probably have not. It has not happened to you, but just imagine it. Corporate meeting, corporate dinner, and you come in boxers. You know, that is foul. Yeah, you're in the wrong place. Because your friend told you, no, we are just, is it not, it's Pastor Dylan, and all of us just come, there's nothing big deal. You can even wear, who used to wear this, three-quarter. Hey, just come three-quarter, come with singlet, just strolling with slippers, and just enter, and everybody's in tight, toxic dough and everything. And your MD is looking at you. You know, the following day, you are going to look for another job. Praise God. Why? Because you are out of place. And nobody likes to be out of place. The days are coming upon us where it will be normal for you to remain down. And complain. And abuse Buhari like I normally do. But no, I'm not. If I were to speak for myself, I will not use that as an example. Buhari has finished Nigeria. That is not the issue. Buhari came to serve a purpose. Whether you and I like it or not. He's serving a purpose, a negative one for that matter. Is that okay? Because it's part of the agenda to bring darkness. Say, arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is upon thee. Verse 2 says, and behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. So people must bring the darkness. They are the instruments of unrighteousness. They have to bring it. There's nothing we can do. And we use our own hand to draw it. We're the one that said we want Buhari. Hallelujah. And he brought the darkness. But we cannot sit down and be crying and be abusing him, because that will solve the problem. The problem is that, or the issue is that, will you stay down like everybody is staying down? Or will you arise as God has said? Amen. That requires a change of your mentality. You have to change the way you think. You have to change the way you approach problems. You have to change the way, you know, you engage. You have to change. You can't carry the same mentality that you've had in the past years and you carry. That was the problem that Israel had. They had the same mentality they had when they were in Egypt. And they wanted to use that mentality to engage the problems of the wilderness. It just did not work. Amen. Those who survived out of those thousands that came out, you know them, Caleb and Joshua. God said they had another spirit. That word spirit is not anointing. It's called attitude. They had a different attitude. It was attitude. Tell your neighbor attitude. It's aptitude. Like some people say, your attitude will determine your altitude. Hallelujah. Your attitude. What is your attitude? How do you respond? People say, don't call it problems. They call it challenges. I don't know the difference between problems and challenges. Praise God. Either way, you have to solve it. Abby, you have to solve it. Amen. So how do you respond? Some of us, we respond to challenges or problems by withdrawing. Glory to God. Some of us, we respond to challenges by avoidance. Some of us respond by denial. It doesn't exist. And you behave as if it doesn't exist. Some respond by running towards it, to challenge it. It says, arise and shine. The only way to deal with darkness is to arise and shine. That's the only way. I
love this quotation. Many years ago, I used to read comics. It was, I don't know the character. I saw the character sometime. He was fighting, I don't know whether it was Superman, he was fighting or Iron Man, which was one of those people. And this character is a villain. You know, Superman had diabolized his program. And he said something. The quote, I'm trying to quote him. Praise God. I'm not saying you should go and start reading comics, because it was when I was a small boy. Hallelujah. He said, I am not ashamed to acknowledge my failure, but I am courageous enough to address it. Did you hear what I said? I'm not ashamed to agree I failed, but I have courage to do what? To address it. Do you hear what it takes to address the challenges that is coming up? It will take another type of attitude. You have to have that. See, and the examples are so many in the Bible. The Bible says when Goliath came out and he was for 40 days, the Bible says the people of Israel were scared, including their king. They were scared. Hallelujah. But when David appeared on the ground, look at the way he was talking. His brother said, you are arrogant. Praise God. Because he was not conforming. Listen, if you're going to arise and shine, you cannot conform. Everyone that became a hero of faith didn't conform. They didn't conform. You can't conform. That is why you need to change the way you think. You can't think their thoughts and not fear their fear. It's not possible. You can't agree with their values and you will not fall into the same ditch they will fall into. It's not possible. You have to make up your mind to stand out. Listen to me. War with God is the majority. Sure, you guys know. And so, when David stepped into battle and he and Goliath were abusing one another, when they were done with abuse, Goliath stood up and drew his sword and was coming. What did the Bible say? It said David ran. Not away. But what? Towards. He ran towards. And he was running. You know, he had already picked his pebbles before he got there. Preparation. Are you with me? He had already done what? He has been preparing. But the first thing he did was, he did a mental preparation. Mentally, he had concluded. And so when he was telling, he said, today, that your big head, your coconut head, is coming down. Praise God. How? He had visualized it. It was not there that he was visualizing. He had done the visualization before he got there. He said, it's coming down. The guy said, me, you dog, you like fly. Come and meet me. And as he was running, he put the first stone, J. That was J-E-S-U-S. He only used J. And reserved the many E-U-S for his brothers to use against the brothers of Goliath. You have not even used anyone yet. Do you know how to use the name of Jesus to bring supply from above? When there's no money in your pocket. Do you know how to use it to summon supply from above? These are skills we must start practicing. How to summon help from above. It's not just casting out devils. Praise God. Can you be stranded and say, Lord, I have no money, but such as I have, I will use. In the name of Jesus, provide a vehicle for me. And somebody will come and park in front of us and say, where are you going? I'm going to Lagos. Enter. I don't have money, don't worry. The Lord said I should come and carry you. We have to, it's getting there. Amen. Now, I was thinking about these things a few days ago, and I said, can I survive without money? How many of you have ever been broke? Like broke that you are broke to the place where broke could not have been broken. That means there's no uncle to call, there's no pastor, nobody to talk to, you are broke, you are properly, originally broke. Amen.
then that is when you have to know how to turn, raise your head to the hills. I said, where will my help come from? Samuel said, my help will come from the Lord. You must know how to draw supply from above. In what we are entering into, we have to learn it too. Amen. The first church had a crisis. I thank God that the prophet had told them that this crisis was coming. Amen. That famine was coming. And it affected the church in Jerusalem. But the other churches around that were in other regions of the world had no problem with famine. And they arranged to move supplies to the brethren in Jerusalem to sustain the church. Praise God. Do we have such technologies in place? I really don't know how these things will play out. It says, all right. Where are we? Take me back to Isaiah 60 and let me finish. I'll preach my message another day when the Lord permits. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. It's a prophecy. It will come to pass. We cannot pray this away. We are destined to walk into it. I believe when Isaiah prophesied this, maybe in the days of Babylon, when Babylon invaded Jerusalem, they would have said, oh, this was the days that Isaiah spoke of. But we are here in front of us. It's going to happen again. There's going to be an economic collapse. It's coming. Hallelujah. It's coming. At least for Nigeria, it will come. How long it will be, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be 2 years, 3 years. They say we're in recession. We just entered recession. I know that we have been in recession long. The day they created Nigeria, we were inside the recession. Hallelujah. We have been living with recession. Now, what is below recession? After recession, depression. Okay, what is below depression? We have been living in oppression. Hallelujah. But the Bible says when men say it's a casting down, your testimony will be it's a lifting. Listen to me. I will bring this to a close. God deliberately, please pay attention. God, I've seen his hand through from generation to generation, that when it is time for a lifting, it brings a problem that no one can solve. It's always his time. It is for the lifting of his people. Can I give you examples? When God was going to bless and lift up the head of Isaac, what did he do? He created a famine. Nobody could solve the problem. It was in that famine that Isaac became a multi-billionaire. They couldn't solve the problem. But Isaac was the only one who had the key. How can you sow in the land of famine and you reap an 100-fold increase? It is, even in the days where there was no famine, it does not work. But it worked for him. Why? His attitude needed to change. God said, don't go down to Gara. Don't go to the land of the Philistines. Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. Stay in Gara. Here, I will bless you. Here, I will bless you. Amen. He stayed. And the things opened up for him. Because he needed to change. He shifted. You see, economically, naturally, the best place to be at that time was where? It was Egypt. We are coming into the... So when you talk about the supernatural, we have entered it too. We have entered it. And we need God to help us. When Jacob was going to become blessed, what did God do? He appeared to him and gave him a technology that Laban could not... Laban had no answer to it. Hallelujah. And I can give you more examples. In days when Joseph was to be exalted, what did God do? He gave them a quiz. And the king called all the magicians and said, I had a dream. Did he tell them the dream? He said, he didn't even remember the dream. One said, he didn't remember the dream. It was Nebuchadnezzar that said, I didn't remember the dream. I said, you must remember the dream for me and interpret it, otherwise I'll kill all of you. What kind of request is that? And they said, King Nebuchadnezzar, no king on earth has ever asked that of his magicians. It doesn't make sense. How can we know your dream? How do you expect us to do your dream? No, the first one he dreamt, they couldn't interpret. This one, this second one, was way off mark. It needed, you need God to tell you the dream you dreamt and the interpretation of the dream. God is going to bring this darkness for the lifting of the church. But we have to be mentally, spiritually ready. And so when they called Joseph, said there is a problem, the king had a dream. He said that no problem. He was the only one that had a clue. Because he was the only one that God customized the solutions for. I said, this is it. Listen, I want to tell you one thing. We can't compete with the world. We can't compete with them. It's like, I always tell people, it's like you bringing Akure Sunshine Stars to go and play in Camp Nou. Camp Nou. Against Messi. King of Egba. By just seeing Messi standing, there's no more ball in your leg. You just find that you can't play ball. You just be looking like Messi. He will just, when Majestic is coming and he's going, just be looking like this. So this is Messi. This is Messi. Some of them will even bring out their security. Just sign. Just sign. Match in law. Just sign. Just let us take selfie. They won't be able to do anything. But bring Baka. Bring Baka, the mighty Baka, to our field here. That when ball hits ground, we'll just bounce this way. Hallelujah. We will beat Baka 10-0. Praise God. Because they're not used to the field. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. They're not used to it. So don't go and play them on their turf. We can't compete with the world on their turf. Amen. As we were growing in the faith, people were boasting that when they buy Tokumbo car, or they buy two cars, or they manage by God's grace to buy a private jet, is to show that their God is powerful. The people who made the jet, go, are they believers? So what are you, what is the big deal? What have you done? All the rich men of God in Nigeria, they are not as rich as one prince in Saudi Arabia. So what are we making noise about? Listen, there is a realm that they cannot follow. When the world plunges into darkness, that time, they will know how poor they are. How inadequate they are. God will create problems that only people in the church have the solution to solve. That was what happened. When that man came from Syria and was looking, you know, he had a problem. And Elisha said, go tell him that he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. There were no prophets in the world except in Israel that could solve that problem. And that man came and the prophet said, go dip yourself in the river Jordan. Dirty water. I want to believe that they were defecating inside that water. Have you been to Eko? Lagoon. Oh, you have not been there. Sorry for you. If you see the fishes in those big fishes, very, very mighty. Ah. You look at them, you say, these guys are well fed. You know what they are eating? Fishes. If you see it, you will not eat it again. But those fishes are well fed. Jemdada. Praise God. And I said, go and eat that kind of fish 7 days. In Akure, Pastor Jayola grows very big fishes. Are there not better fishes in Akure that you eat? But the problem requires a divine solution. The key is in our hands. But we must learn how to use it. It will come in the place of wisdom. It will come in wisdom. It will come in insight. It will come in dreams, interpretation. So many things. It's going to manifest in different dimensions. Because the Bible says that through the church, it's going to demonstrate its manifold wisdom. And that wisdom put together is light. It says the glory of the Lord will come upon you. In the midst of that darkness, you will shine. Without the darkness, you can't shine. Even Even if you put on a candlestick here with this bright light, nobody will see it. Praise God. Do you understand? That's the reason why darkness must come. Why? That you and I can do what? Shine. So I want to plead with us. Let us begin to have a mental shift. Let us shift our minds away from the natural things and begin to trust God. That God, you will use me. God, I'm trusting you to be a part of this end time program. You know what that song says? Show me where I fit into your plans. We know the plan now. The issue is, where will you fit in? The book of the Acts of the Apostles was the book of the Acts of the Apostles. There is still a book they are yet to finish. It's called the Book of the Acts of the Saints. They are yet to write that book. That book is still, they are just compiling it. Your name ought to be in that book. They need to write your whole story and say, in the year of the Lord's manifestation, Brother Omololu wrought this greatness. In his hands he subdued 50,000 Philistine soldiers, hallelujah, in one go, by one word of wisdom. But that day of manifestation requires many years of preparation. The time is now. The Lord will help us. Time has sufficed us to do the will of the flesh. The time is now to put our house in order. I don't know why God is speaking like this. My message is there. I did open it. I think we need to stand and pray. We need to stand and pray. Where you fit is up to you and God. It's up to you primarily. It's up to you. Will you be instrumental? Will you arise and shine in the days that darkness upon the earth? Will you beam the power of the kingdom? Will you be trusted with the power? Can you ask the Lord, help me? My mind, Lord, help me. Holy Ghost, help me. Lead me where I fit into your plans. Teach me in the way I ought to go. And I will be forever in your will. Show me where I fit into your plan. This is my prayer, Lord. Show me where I fit into your plan. Lord, I was going to pray as the choir take the song. Lead me in the way I ought to go. Lord, this is my prayer. And I will be. Lord, I'm Some of us do not know where we fit in. Some of us do not even know where to start from. Some of us do not even you never had it in your mind, in your wildest dreams, that God will be trusting you. Can you pray that the days of Elijah, when many widows were not qualified to have God engage them, to have God help them, Lord, let not that day be my day. Let not that be my future. Let not that be my story. I don't want to be like the widows in the land of Israel that God could send no prophet to, but he had to send to somebody in Zidon. The Lord said it like this. He said, if you refuse to cry, if these children had refused to cry, said God would have raised stones. God would have raised stones. God would have raised stones. I won't let stones replace me. Oh Lord, I'm perceiving strongly in my heart that this may come to pass. I'm perceiving in my heart that God may go out of here and go look for men and women to carry out his end time program. I'm perceiving it strongly in my heart that God will raise apostles and prophets, mighty men and women from Agberos, from prostitutes and all the rejects of the land to do this work. Men and women that will bring in the harvest. It might just do that. That's my fear. And I'm sensing it. I want to pray. Lord, don't overlook me. Don't overlook me. Don't overlook me. I don't know what you have to do, but Lord, this is a prayer and request. Don't overlook me. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Don't overlook me. He said, if those children did not cry, he will raise stones. In the Kairos timing of God, it must be the temple to cry and say, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh. You must be there to play your own role. Don't overlook me. Don't let stones replace me. I thank you for those that you are going to raise out of them. But to do this work, count on me, Lord. Holy Ghost, make me fit. Holy Ghost, help me. Father, I give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.